When we get back, we're going to talk with Congressman Ken Buck about last night's State of the Union address. But first, it's time to check in with our financial guru from America's Retirement Stores. Good morning, John DuPriest.
Well, good morning, Mandy. And one thing about
Talk Radio 630 KHEL. It is 8:04 in the morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As we move through a post-State of the Union day. And earlier today, we were talking pretty extensively about the State of the Union, and we're going to check in with brand spanking new Congressman Ken Buck here in just a few minutes. It was his first State of the Union address. You know, one thing I liked about the State of the Union, and I was kind of being dead serious when I said this. Okay, you know, the whole, first of all, I watch it on C-SPAN. I watch everything political on C-SPAN, if it's available on C-SPAN, because you don't have to listen to the dribble of the talking heads of whatever network you're watching. With C-SPAN, you get this wide open camera shot, and then you have people from C-SPAN talking, but they're background noise, and they're not really trying to be the stars of the show. They're just kind of letting it unfold. So I have this on. It's, you know, 10 till whatever last night, and I'm watching all of these members of Congress file in, and they're all shaking hands. Oh, good to see you, backslap. Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. You look nice today, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, that part appeals to me. Like, for instance, Greg, how about this? How about we suggest that one day everybody in this building just meet in the lobby so we can glad hand each other and shake hands. Oh, nice to see you. Hey, you look good today. I mean, just like once a year, we could have the State of the Union for iHeartMedia here in the building. And then we could all, you know, walk around and congratulate each other on how awesome we are, because that's really what it appears to be doing in Congress. But it's still cool. It's still cool the way they're all like, hey, you look awesome. I haven't seen you since we duked it out in that committee meeting. No, you look good. How's the family? How's the family? What's going on? What's happening? So there's certain parts of the pomp and circumstance that look like they could be entertaining if we just incorporated them into our daily lives. You know, just like we need a little more pomp and circumstance. I'll get the pomp. You get the circumstance. We'll meet in the lobby. How about that? It was his first pomp and circumstance as a member of the U.S. Congress. Joining me now, Congressman Ken Buck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mandy. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. I got to ask you right out of the chute. Give me your personal impressions of the entire spectacle of the State of the Union itself. Not the speech, just the whole thing, because this was your first joint session of Congress.
It was. You know, it's interesting. I'm used to watching things like that on TV, and there's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and there's the Supreme Court, and it really is a spectacle. I'm not sure I'd use that word, but it's an impressive gathering of people to hear a message that wasn't that impressive.
Yeah. Well, that was a very delicate way of putting that. Very much so.
I should run for office.
Yeah, you should. Now, I, of course, also watched it last night, and I was underwhelmed myself. But what were the things that leapt out at you specifically?
Well, what was amazing to me was the issues that the president didn't talk about. You know, we have $18.1 trillion of debt. And the president didn't mention that. He had no plan for how we're going to reduce our debt, how we're going to balance our budget, how we're going to rein in government spending and government regulation. Not one single word. All he could talk about were the same old big government, government top-down kinds of programs that have failed us in the past. Then he has the audacity to take credit for an economy that's booming. And he talks about, you know, how we were creating more energy. He's the one that's trying to stifle oil and gas production in this country. And he's taking credit for the good things that have happened in spite of his efforts.
Well, I will say this. When he said or implied that the Russian economy was somehow in tatters because of actions that the United States had taken, I actually laughed out loud. I mean, I really did. Because when you get right down to it, the Russian economy is in the crapper because Saudi Arabia is trying to shut down fracking, which he opposed in the first place.
Well, and I don't know what Saudi Arabia's motives are, whether it's Iran, whether it's Russia, whether it's the U.S. fracking. I'm not sure. But I am sure that it has very little to do with President Obama. And again, he tries to take credit for that. The stimulus programs, where he spent $787 billion, had no positive effect on our economy. It's hardworking Americans who are working through the obstacles that this president has created. That's why our economy is doing well. And then, yes, I laughed a few times. You know, the best line that I heard that I laughed the hardest at he said that, and I don't have the exact words, but he said something to the effect that the our enemy, we shouldn't react to headlines with military force. That's exactly what our enemy wants. What he was saying, in effect, was our enemy wants us to go to the Middle East and kill them. Now, how rational a thought is that?
Well, you're asking for rationality about someone whose foreign policy could hardly be described as rational in the long run. You know, I want to take you back to something you said at the beginning of the segment, though, because something just popped into my head. You said he never once mentioned the national debt. But the reality is, Ken, we had a caller earlier this morning that proved that the president did a masterful job last night in alluding to our spending problems while actually not addressing when he said we have lowered deficits. Now, of course, he ignores the fact that he has increased the deficit over $500 billion a year since George W. Bush left office and has only increased the national debt. But we had a guy call this morning saying, hey, he cut the deficit. There is no idea what the deficit versus the debt means. So I have to give it to him on that one. You got to say, well played politically.
Well paid to people that don't understand the fact that he has, in his 6 years and will in his 8 years, almost double our debt. And what that means is over 200 years, we accumulated just over $10 trillion of debt, and he will almost do that in his 8 years as president. That's an absolutely amazing figure and something that he should not be proud of.
Well, the list of things last night, I kind of jokingly, no, I totally jokingly said on Twitter, by the end of that speech, I was confused as to what things in my personal life I was going to be responsible for paying for, because we got free community college, free childcare. I'm pretty sure that he gave a free puppy to everyone in the country at some point. I think I heard that. But the reality is that Congress is facing reality. They don't have the option of sort of throwing out all of these pie in the sky things. So what happens from this point forward, Ken? What happens with the Republican caucus?
I think that the Republicans in Congress can't throw out pie in the sky things. Obviously the Democrats passed Obamacare when they were in power. The Democrats passed stimulus packages. The Democrats passed on and on and on. Dodd-Frank. What we have to do now is get our country on a path that is sustainable. And there, you and I probably share one of our favorite economists, is Milton Friedman. And the thought that there is a free lunch went out the window with Milton Friedman's essay. There also is no free community college. Someone's going to have to pay for that. And undoubtedly, it's going to go on our national debt. I think it'd be a great idea for us to create tax incentives for companies to, encourage training programs and community college education, and let those companies invest in employees and future employees. But the idea that they're going to somehow create all these things for free is just nonsense.
Well, how do you here's the problem I have, Ken. You and I are on complete agreement about the problems facing the country when it comes to spending, and yet there are so many of these people in the country that are simply willing to let someone else subsidize their healthcare premiums, that love the idea of forgiving all student loans because it would take the responsibility off of them. It would be a fantastic thing if Santa Claus, Obama, could go out and give all this stuff out. But the reality is that someone's, like you said, got to pay for it. How do Republicans craft a message that is more appealing than, hey, buttercup, suck it up and take care of your own stuff, which is how I put it, but that's why I'm not an elected official?
Well, I can tell you, Mandy, I don't know that there is any good way. I ran for office and promised people that if they elected me, I would give them less. And yet I still got elected. And because I think a lot of people are coming to the realization that we cannot continue to give more. And I think, when you say a message, I think we have to be fair. When we talk about tax cuts, we have to get rid of the corporate cronyism as well as the unfair benefits for those who aren't working and don't want to work. And so I think fairness is one of the key aspects of getting this country back on track.
Can I ask you if you are familiar with the Fair Tax Program?
I am familiar with the Fair Tax. I like the Fair Tax. I'd like to see us flatten our tax code first And frankly, I think there are a lot of unintended consequences for the terror attacks, so I want to know more about them before I sign on completely to something like that. But I think any kind of sales tax would be beneficial. We just have to figure out how to help people on the lowest end of the scale if we're going to truly go to a fair tax.
Well, they have a prebate system. I urge you to, you can go to fairtax.org. I think it's a fantastic plan. And last night when the president was talking about, you know, flattening or making our tax code more equal and getting everybody to pay their fair share, I thought, oh my God, how awesome. The bottom 47% are actually going to pay some income taxes now.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he was talking about. He's a wonderful orator, and he makes everybody happy. The reality is that he has no intention of flattening the tax code. He has every intention of making sure that he is creating a majority vote, a 51% vote, with people who are receiving benefits from the government that they wouldn't otherwise receive.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Ken Buck, I appreciate your time this morning. I got an email from someone who said, will you please ask Congressman Ken Buck if he is going to follow through on the things he campaigned on? So I feel it's my duty to ask you this question.
Absolutely. And I'd love to, I mean, if the person wanted to email me, I'd love to talk to him or visit with him on email about what those specific issues are. But I am doing everything I can. I voted for the Keystone Pipeline. I am voting for and working hard on issues that I campaigned on.
Absolutely. Congressman, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
No problem.